Welcome to Explain the Prophetic, where each week I give you a prophetic perspective, and we sometimes have interviews, and we're looking together for how hearing God's voice can change not only our lives, but the world around us. You can hear God, and as you build that connection, your whole life will change. Remember to follow me at social media, at Sean Bowles, or subscribe to this podcast. Hey, my friends, today we're going to be talking to those of you who feel like the floor is completely shifted underneath your feet. You didn't plan a transition. You didn't ask for a reroute, but here you are. God's taking you somewhere between an old thing that you can't go back to and a new thing that you can't fully see yet. And I've lived this. I mean, moving from a traditional ministry role into media, into conversations, in mainstream culture, politics, entertainment, all kinds of public discourse stuff, that was not on my map. We knew God was asking, you know, our ministry to be a conversation starter and supporters of what he's doing beyond the church walls. And then I stepped out completely out of the familiar. And the warfare was not theoretical. It was intense. People had opinions, counsel conflicted, resources thin for a while. The enemy pressed so hard. And yet right there in the middle of the battle, the new thing was born. Not clean, not instant, not tidy, but unmistakably God. I always tell people I was led by God into whole avenues I would have gone into, into careers I would have gone into. And it's happened to me again. And I know it's happening for many of you as well. And there's a process to it. So if that's you, hear me. We're in a time where many people are being divinely redirected and there's a new transition. It's not easy. And that's what Exploring the Prophetic is all about this week on this episode, this podcast. If you're not subscribed yet, make sure to subscribe. Hit notifications so you can get it there too. Also, YouTube, Facebook. Follow us there so you see the video version if you're listening on audio. Or if you're on the video version, you want to just take me in the car or while you're doing dishes or wherever else on the way to school pickup, this is the perfect time to do that. We also have a new class starting called Coaching You in the Prophetic. So if you're learning how to hear God's voice and you need coaching on what God's telling you for your own life, your own direction, this is perfect for you. But also how to give words to other people. Sometimes they're hard words. Sometimes they're words you don't understand how to give or how to really like have the spiritual, emotional intelligence to even assimilate for yourself, let alone someone else. So we're going to be talking about that. I'm going to be coaching people live in the class. You're going to really enjoy this class. It's on Tuesday nights for 4 weeks. Never done anything like this, quite like this before, except for live meetings or live seminars, live conferences. So we're going to do it right here on social media or on Zoom Room if you just join us at bowlesministries.com. Well, let's talk about this today because we're going somewhere that God is taking us. And the fruit of it's not going to be the glory of what we can do, but the glory that God can bring into our life. And we want that, but the process, man, it's different. Scripture never treats transition like an exception. It treats it like a pathway, which is really good. So if you're in transition, it is a pathway into something that God is asking you to do. Again, that you may not lead yourself into. You may not have chosen directly, except for you're surrendered, you're obeying God. And it's by faith that Abraham obeyed what he was called to go out, not knowing where he's going. Hebrews 11, verse 8 says, and trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understandings, and he'll make your path straight, which is Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. And one of my favorites, Proverbs 16, 9 says, a person plans their own way, but the Lord directs his steps. And some of you have plans that you planned in your own way. You've said, okay, God, here's what I feel like your plans are. But you're now in the process where God's saying, yeah, that is the plan. But let's take some steps to get you there that you wouldn't have taken yourself, that you wouldn't have known how to take. And some of you are in that redirection. Maybe it's in career, geography, family. And the redirection is like maybe confusing at times. We're going to talk about that. You know, God leads real people through real unknowns, and his leadership is so good. I love God's leadership, but it's also sometimes confusing, especially because it's not according to our human nature. It doesn't meet some of the human cues or the check marks that we always want because it's divine. And so following God, the God of the Bible, Jesus Christ, and actually listening to his voice by his presence is going to lead you in some ways that you have to trust, and you have to be anchored in your faith because your natural anchors aren't there sometimes. I mean, I know many people who follow God into places, they've had to leave family and geography behind, or they've had to leave a comfortable career behind. They've had to go into something else. They've had to leave maybe into something that wasn't their talents or their main skills that they thought this is what I would thrive the most in. And when you go to life coaches or business coaches or kind of contemporary Christianity, it's like, do what you're called to do. Do what makes you happy. Do what you're passionate about. And there's truth in that to some degree. But the bigger truth is sometimes we're surrendering our identity and what we know is going to bring us joy so we can have eternal joy. So we can do what brings Jesus his glory. So we can do what makes him famous. And sometimes the cue to, you know, the movie is dramatic. Sometimes it's a whisper. And we see that. You know, I love that there's those cues where it's like, wow, this is like, I know it's God because there's so much drama around me. But other times, God comes in that little whisper. And when you turn to the right or the left, you hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, which is Isaiah 30, verse 21. That's the kind of season that many of you are in. It's like you're God's not in front of you leading you in a way that's visually where you understand your future, but he's behind you. And as you're taking each step, he's saying, hey, walk this way. Hey, walk this way. And Israel had to move with a cloud. I mean, they had to move completely following a cloud and a pillar in the sky. And Elijah wasn't stationed forever at the brook. When it was dried up, God sent him. I mean, this is crazy. Paul tried to go one direction, but the Spirit kept him from Asia. And then he came to Macedonia instead because of a vision in Acts 16. These aren't failures. These are reassignments. And reassignment rarely comes without friction. I love the scripture of Paul. A great door for effective work was open to me, and there were many adversaries. 1 Corinthians 16:9. You know, John 15 says the fruitful branches get pruned so they can bear more fruit. Pruning cuts healthy growth to make room for greater growth. And we know that. It feels like loss before the increase. And Christians should understand this more than anybody else because we have the word. I'm looking at the Bible right now. We have the word in front of us. You know, I've stepped into what was unknown to me. I always expect resistance when I do that. We know it's out there. The resistance is to what God wants to do is always out there. But I didn't expect the ache of starting over relationally. Like, we had to move. And then people misread my motives who were in my old season or who were like my ministry the way it was. And there was quiet rooms and times that I wondered if I'd misheard God. But maybe that's where you are. You've loved Jesus. You followed him. You still found hardship. Thank God people like Peter did too. You know, Jesus recommissions him after his failure and says, feed my sheep in John 21. And he walks straight into a calling that stretched him way past where he wanted to be in Galilee, way past where he would have wanted to be as a, you know, Israeli. And obedience doesn't mean ease, of course. And we know that. But obedience means presence. You know, if we have obedience, we'll have the presence of God. That's reality. You know, Psalm 23, verse 4 says, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but you are with me. And many of us have walked through in the transitions, a death to something, a surrender of something that was a great idea, a really good idea, and felt like a God idea at one point. And then he shifted us and he had us do something else. But what I've learned about sudden God initiated transitions, I'm going to give you a couple of principles. First, they're always rearranging relationships every time. And God brings new covenant people for a new assignment and sometimes release with others. And sometimes it's a release with grace and sometimes it's a release that's not graceful because we live in a fallen human world. So sometimes people misunderstand where we're going. And Paul and Barnabas had that painful parting, you know, Acts 15. And the mission multiplied, though, after that. Some of your sorrow is simply the price of new alignments. And that's a hard one to hear because we want a happy ending to every single relationship. But in heaven, I believe we're going to regain those spaces and those spots where we had fullness when you were with that group of Christians or you're in that church and you loved it. It was your favorite time in your whole life that God called you to move or in a new career decision or new trajectory. And you had to give up something in that. And you're like, wow, that's painful. Maybe they misunderstood you even in doing that. That happens. Or maybe it's a career from one level of career to another. I know many people did something that their parents or what seemed more natural for them to do. People want it for them. And then they realized in their God identity that that's not where they were supposed to land for 30 years in their career. And so they transitioned and people got upset or people didn't understand or, you know, transitions are hard and they attract warfare. Transition attacks warfare more than almost any other season. I mean, when you're in a transition towards what God has for you, the good, a land of promise, a land maybe of flowing of milk and honey, the enemy contests that new territory so much. And so we got to expect that pressure, but we don't want to read it as punishment. You know, after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. 1 Peter 5:10. Peter never promises we won't suffer a little bit. And I think sometimes when we're going through a transition and we're in the suffering, we're asking God to take the suffering away. And God's like, no, I actually want to develop and form your character. And I'm not causing the suffering, but I'm going to use it in your life far more than just a season of peace would be because you're becoming something else. I mean, for Sheree and I and my family, we've transitioned from a lot of the things, a lot of the relationships we were in. Thank God, because there were so much things that were happening that I remember years ago. Put it this way, I was in a movement that I knew was unhealthy. Big Christian movement that I knew was unhealthy. And I felt like God said, take a sabbatical away from this movement. I want you to take a year off and just pursue me and just pray and just spend time with me. And you've been full on in ministry now as a young man going too hard. I was kind of a workaholic, rebalance, reset. And I was so like, I had so much FOMO. I was like, if I don't stay here, God, I'll miss out on opportunities. And at the time I had a book publishing contract coming down the line and some media projects and whatever, plus the ministry stuff. But I was like, I'm going to obey you. And when I obeyed him, that movement went through so many politics and so much wretched stuff, just terrible stuff. And it was like, I was pulled out in a place of transition and in a hidden season, kind of a wilderness season. And it was the glory of God because I missed out on all of the drama. I'm such a problem solver. I'm such a fixer. I'm such a person who wants to go in and help every person who's going through hardship. And that becomes codependent sometimes in ministry. And I was in a season where I was only in my 20s, so I didn't have good boundaries up. I didn't rein in those feelings. I didn't rein in what was my responsibility and what wasn't. I was all in, dedicated. So it was God giving me the grace to be set apart and separate in a transition that I wouldn't have brought myself into. And I missed all the trauma. I missed all the drama of that ministry and what they went through. I think some of you, like, you're hoping that the suffering won't be there, but the suffering sometimes happens so that you avoid a real suffering that's human brokenness could bring to you. And God takes you out of something because he's going to put you in something that's better. And sometimes that taking out of is hard, you know, and the fight isn't about your past. It's about your future. And it's hard to keep that in perspective. You know, and another thing I've learned is that I got a lot of conflicting advice. I know a lot of you guys have too, from wise people. You receive counsel when you're in these suddenly transitions, when you're in this time where God's redirecting you. And those redirections, they inherit opinions. They inherit good and bad counsel. And, you know, we have to submit fully to God in the midst of it, because we're called first to hear God for ourselves. And if you're not in a season where there's a lot of growth in your life, in the sense of you have to grow out of some immorality or some bad choice making, then you're probably in a place where you need to listen to God's voice inside of you first and allow people to strengthen or challenge that as you go. But if you bow to someone else's opinion, spiritual opinion, when you know what God's telling you, you're going to lose. You're going to lose great opportunities from God. You're going to lose a level of connection to him because he can't trust you because you're trusting man instead of him. And John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice. And that's one of the hardest things in modern Christianity, because especially in charismatic circles or Pentecostal circles, there's people who are more prophetic, or they're more prophets, or there's pastors. And sometimes we exalt them on a platform where we want them to make a decision for us, but they're not going to maintain it for you. So if you're in a redirection and you're like, I wonder if this really is God, and you go and get advice from two or three people and they all give you great advice, but it's not the right advice, and you can't discern for yourself what the reality is, have you matured as a Christian to where God's even leading you in the first place? You know, I think about just reading the word here, the Jerusalem Council in Acts 15 were modeling this because they had scripture, the spirit, community witness, and it produced clarity. So there's community witness, but it's after scripture. It's after your own process with God. And then you bring the community into it. And that has to be a pattern for us. And God uses transition to forge such rooted faith inside of us. We know that you get out of these redirections and all of a sudden you're in a new season and you're like, only God could have done this. And if we trust in the Lord, and then we mount up on wings of eagles, you know, we end up being anchored in a way that we couldn't have built in adrenaline or vanity or fear or pride or anything else. And I think when you look at it plainly, God's reassigning many of you guys. And the guarantee is that you're going to stand in the middle of your best opportunity for your calling and your family and your gifts, even if it doesn't look like the best at first. We are his workmanship, and we're created for Christ Jesus for his good, Ephesians 2:10. And what's not guaranteed is immediate understanding. You're not going to always have that. You're going to suffer sometimes the ways you didn't forecast. You're going to have new geography or new finances or maybe new loneliness, but we walk by faith and not by sight. That's the reality of God, is that we're walking by what we're hearing from God. What is guaranteed is that God's going to give us influence only that he could seat us in. Joseph didn't network his way into Pharaoh. You know, God positioned him. And many of you are those Josephs, those Esthers. What's not guaranteed is a walk of the park. Transition is a sanctified war. Your disciplines and your dependence are going to be tested, but then secured. You know, I love James says, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials and tribulations of many kinds. The point of all this is not to make you heroic. It's to make Jesus unmistakable in your story. I love that he's doing something that's so new in you that even you are having a hard time sometimes recognizing it. And the glory of it isn't going to be navigated by your faith and your decisions. It's going to be by you saying yes to him and seeing where he could lead you. And when you see where God can lead you, you realize, I could have never got myself this way. I could never hope for this. I could never imagine this, Ephesians 3:20, but it takes levels of sacrifice. Now, when you're sacrificing for something for decades, you shouldn't be self-destructing or destroying relationships or destroying good patterns. And that sometimes is the hallmark balance between people who are maybe suffering through a transition where there is some loss and those who are allowing so much loss because they're hiding behind a prophetic delusion. And you know it's a prophetic delusion because it doesn't lead to fruit and it doesn't lead to more intimacy with God. It leads to maybe being more in the know or more connection to a purpose, but is it God himself behind the purpose that you're looking to be connected to? And that's a huge one. We want to go there. I'm going to encourage you, if you're in a redirection, really write it out. Guard your inputs of what's coming in. You know, guard voices of fear from your life. Fill your atmosphere with scripture. You know, look at Colossians 3:2, Philippians 4:8, Psalm 119:105. You know, fast from debates and social media. that drains the truth out of you. Bless people who don't understand your obedience. Keep your authority clean. Don't repay evil for evil in the context of when people are upset with you or don't understand, because their pushback will actually bring breakthrough. It's going to be often that pressure that swings the whole case from being like, I think this is God, to I know it's God. And so don't resent pushback. Don't resent people challenging you, but also recognize that God's speaking to you first. And I'm going to pray for you, because I feel like some of you are in that place where you're in that redirect. You're in that place where you're in the in-between time where you couldn't go back to what you've left behind, you know, and you don't know what the forward looks like yet, but you know God's in it, and you're in that time between times, and God's with you. And some of you may not be there yet, but you know God's leading you into maybe a transition, and maybe you have a career change coming, or you have something going on in your family that's coming. God wants to help you, and maybe you haven't planned the transition, but heaven is not improvising. Heaven doesn't improvise. Jesus knows how to reroute you to the best place, and he's written it from the beginning of time. Like, he's written your reroutes that you think are so spontaneous. He already knew what he was going to offer you on the other end. And I think of sometimes as a father, the things that I've planned for my girls and my wife and I have planned for them. And I think of, like, we look at their holidays and their breaks, and we think of special things we could do, whether it's something local or whether it's something to take them on a trip. We look at, you know, everything from spring break to summer break of classes we could put in their life and things we could do together that would enhance who they are as human beings and the rest that they would need from intense activities from school or sports, whatever it is. And we're planning those things all the time. And when we get into them, sometimes it feels spontaneous to them, or it feels like they don't know the weight of what it took for us to plan those things into their life. And some of you don't understand the Father in heaven with the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, who have planned out your life, and they've planned out what this transition will bring, what you're already entering into, what the glory of what it's going to bring on the other end, where he's going to reform you again. He's going to recreate all kinds of things in you as that scripture's gone deep, as your relationship's gone deep, as you've said, here I am, Lord, send me. As you've said that, and he's taking that seriously. Maybe you said it 10 years ago, but this is the season you're feeling a transition into it. And we're in a season where there's epic revival type activity on the earth, but God wants to push it into overdrive, where it's not just revival of the church. It's not just souls getting saved, but it's transformation and culture, where he could place you in a place of influence to where people could see him there, maybe in an industry that he's not often seen, or maybe in a neighborhood or a community that's not often witnessing his glory or what he's doing. Maybe it's in a dormant or sleepy place and you're being sent there. Maybe it's in a place where there is a lot of Christianity, there is a lot of goodness, but you're called to 2.0 it. You know, and I just think that some of you who might have tech or entertainment or politics or something on your life as part of the calling that he's preparing you for, you're paying a unique price to get a unique reward of glory for Jesus, to have a unique expression of God that maybe hasn't existed before this time in history. And I think sometimes we get alone in that because we're like, this is a new industry. No one's ever done this before. But people have obeyed since the beginning of time. God, there's obedience all written through the scripture. And you can look at what it's like to obey, like Abraham, when he went to places that no one had ever done as a believer before. And so you're not unique in that context. There's people who've done bigger and greater than you. And so you don't have to feel alone in that. Like Elijah, when he was in the season of deep torment of warfare, when Jezebel's sending assassins to him and saying, she's going to kill you. You know, I've been sent. And he's traumatized by these threats. And the Lord says, Elijah, what are you doing? After he feeds him and lets him rest, Elijah, what are you doing? There's many people over here who are my prophets or people like you. And he felt so alone. And yet God had prepared all these other people he just hadn't met yet. He hadn't connected to, didn't have eyes to see yet, who were also walking in faith, who were also walking in love. And some of you, the transition you're in is because of the things that you're called to. He wants to surround you with other people so you're not alone in those things. And they aren't the people you're coming from. They're the people you're going to. And it doesn't mean you're going to lose relationships. A lot of times you don't lose any relationships. We just gain more. And I do know, though, that in the suffering for Jesus always has a high price on it, but also has such a great glory on the other end that he's always worth it. And he's worth it not just because of the sake of what we're going to gain through eternal glory or through what we gain through the actual ministry or the gift or the career or whatever we can do for him on the earth, but he's worth it because of what he did on the cross for us and what he did to give us a redemptive hope for the future. And some of you got to get out of the thing of like, I'm going to do this for God and with God, and I'm going to live this great life on earth and have this great destiny. And it becomes very like about your destiny. It becomes very about you centered. And God wants to take that, even that off of us, that self-centeredness in our calling. Although we're allowed to dream, we're allowed to think those things. but also plug us into there's people who've come before us and people who come after us, and that we're one piece of what God wants to do on the earth. And we start to respect deeply what else is embedded in the areas around us. And I think of when, you know, my team, we went to LA to start a ministry in a church, and we birthed this ministry out of LA. And I remember going there, and so many people come to LA to start a ministry, and they felt like it, they were the first ones who ever had that mandate. And they came with so much ego and so much pride and so much like, we're here to save Hollywood, you know, and so we call it Hollywood. And there was so much of like an arrogance or presumption on it that they didn't last very long. We saw ministries plant there the whole time I was there for 18 years. There's probably like 2 to 3 ministries a year that would plant to come save Hollywood from its evil. And it didn't recognize all the people who'd already come and dreamed that dream for decades. It didn't recognize people who are currently there, who are, you know, fighting that good fight, who are ministries. I think of like even some of the ones right now, like Hollywood Prayer Network and Rabbi Jason Sobel with Fusion Ministries between Jewish and Gentile believers. And, you know, I think of like Master Media. I think of like all these different groups that are there that have been there for decades. And these ministries didn't come as reinforcements to what God was already doing. They came as the answer. And it was so grieving because it was so self-serving in how people came. And that's why they didn't last. It didn't not last because of funding or because of immorality. It was because of arrogance and pride. And I remember when we came, we said, let's be a reinforcement. Let's just hear the dreams people have dreamed and just bless the dream and serve really good. And we didn't start any kind of major meeting in the city for Hollywood. We just started to go and reinforce other people's ministries and, you know, mandates and callings. And it was so amazing to come in as a support and then someone's being a really strong support, especially when it came to volunteering at sessions to set up and tear down or to be ministry teams or to pray and having our people deployed. It was so different. And it was so other than because we came to wash the feet first, not to get the glory. And I think there's something in how many times we come and we don't have longevity because we come thinking that Jesus is the answer. So we're the answer through him versus we're one of the pieces that Jesus puts to love. And we're not the main character energy of the story. He is. And anybody who comes with main character energy in their mission, whether it's in business or whether it's in ministry, when you're doing it for Jesus, you can't come with the arrogance, the presumption, the pride that way. You have to come with a spirit of humility. And that's what is a landing strip for his glory in the season. And that's what's going to take off and be successful. That's what's going to take off, whether it be a ministry or a business. When you have that landing strip of humility, that landing strip of knowing what God's doing, partnering to it, you're going to feel you're holding the hands of generations who went before you, and you're holding the hands of generations that are there, and you're holding the hands of what God's going to do in the future. And that kind of legacy building, that kind of recognition that you're a body, you're part of a body of Christ, is going to make you win in ways that you could have not won coming in cold turkey, thinking you have something that everybody needs. And I think a lot of you who are being redirected come out of the place of feeling like you're alone or that you're the only one and coming to the place of saying, who has God already sent here? And God, how can you connect me to them? And how can you connect me to your heart, whether it be in a land or an industry or a people group or whatever it is? And God, how can I support what you're already building? Let me see Jesus, the glory of all the love and the price that's already been paid here. Man, it changes everything. It causes you to say, when you say, send me God, to go, send me into places that other people have already paved such a road for, that I get to walk on the back of believers who've died deaths for what you're doing in this industry or this place, and the blood of the martyrs that has already cried out to you here, that I'm just a reinforcement until Jesus returns. And man, the place of humility in that comes in and awakens you to where the weird spins of having to have the answer or having to be something or the performance that comes on it or the arrogance that can come on it, you're just delivered from it. So I'm going to encourage you in the season that you're going into, God is sending so many people right now. He's sending the masses. And some of you are feeling it, even after Charlie Kirk and what happened with Charlie. It's like so many people are being sent to media right now. I can't believe how many people are contacting me and telling me, I'm called to media. I didn't realize that I'm called to entertainment or media. I'm called to even politics. I've had several people write us and tell us or email me or text me and tell me, I'm run for office. This is awesome. And so God's redirecting probably millions of people. You're one of them. How are you going to hold that line of that transition? It matters. Rooting and anchoring yourself in God right now matters. Believing what he is saying to your heart, not allowing others to challenge it in weird ways, matters. Follow God, follow Jesus for his sake, and you're going to see something that you could have never dreamed of. Well, let me pray. Holy Spirit, we need you. We need you in this transition where we need you in the redirection you're bringing us into. Some of us, we would have never chosen these directions we're going into, but we're obeying you. And so we're following you in ways that we just didn't know we'd end up here. God, not all of us even like where you're putting us. Some of you are saying, like, I wouldn't have chosen that industry, or I wouldn't have chosen that assignment. I wouldn't have chosen that people group to serve. And yet this is what God's chosen for me. God, help us to not rebel against in our flesh or in our humanity, to rebel against something that's so you, God. Something that's so you that we could taste it and we can feel it, but there might be I don't want that inside of us, Lord. Help us to just choose you, even in the midst of our own preferences or someone's rebellion inside. God, help us to stay the course, to follow you. Because on the other end of that, we're going to have a story. We're going to look at you, Jesus, and we're going to say, only you could have done this. I could have never led myself to so much fruit, so much fulfillment, so much love, so much community, so much connection. God, we believe you for this. God, those of us who are already in the far end of the redirection, where we're already planted in a new season with a new people, God, give us grace, Lord, to thrive in that season. Give us grace and resource and connection and friendships and all those things. Lord, those who are in the middle of the warfare of the transition, help us to see you in it, God. Help us to see that everything that's good, the enemy tries to come against, and that we're not rare. I think if Charlie Kirk lost his life for being a truth seeker and for being somebody who created public discourse and created moments of freedom of speech that haven't been done in our generation, and he lost his life for it, the warfare is real. People lose their life. There's Christians all over the world who are losing their lives for the sake of the gospel right now in Nigeria and Syria and places. God, we don't want to take for granted the season that we're in, of the freedom that we have. Even if there's warfare, we're not losing our lives here in the Western world. Some of you may be in the places you're listening to this, but many of you aren't at threat to lose your life right now. And yet it's still painful. The warfare is still very real. And we just pray that God would reinforce you, that he'd send the tipping point to the battles you're in, that he would send health, resources, mental stability or mental health, Lord, everything that we need to thrive, I pray that you would bring it. You're going to make it all the way through, and I'm going to encourage you. God doesn't just speak something to us. I've said this, some of you have heard me say this. If you see verse 12, you know, verse 2, it says he's the author, he'll be the finisher, and he's going to finish what he started in you. So stay with him. Stay right next to his ear. Stay in the word, stay in prayer, and you're going to find God in a way that you can only imagine. In a way that's not even what you could read about in books or what you could read about in other people's lives that you respect and honor and think, man, if I can only have a Christian relationship like them, you're going to go beyond that because that's how good God is. You're going to have a place of fulfillment in your relationship with God and in the works that you do with him that no one could have explained to you how good it is. So I'm going to encourage you to keep going. And if you are part of our community of exploring the prophetic, if your podcast, if this podcast is something you subscribe to, I'm going to encourage you to leave a review for us. If you're watching on YouTube or Facebook, make sure to like it because it helps people to see it and understand that it's here. And also, if you really are loving this, go to bullsministries.com and help send us to the greatest potential audience we could bring to. And you could send us by giving a donation. And you could do that very easily. We have PayPal. We have online giving. It's so, so easy. And we need your help. We need your support. Just as we've entered into October 2025, we need your help right now. So make sure to click a like or click a give. And we'll see you next time exploring the prophetic.
Thank you for listening to Exploring the Prophetic. If you want to learn more about hearing God's voice, come over to my website, www.shawnbowles.com. That's S-H-A-W-N-B-O-L-Z. I have many resources for you there, like some on hearing God, like my best-selling book, Translating God. I have prayer books on breakthrough and provision to help you to have more language to talk to God. And we even have a devotional on this series called Exploring the Prophetic. I also want to invite you to spiritually grow by joining our online thriving mentoring community, where we have 12 four-week live classes a year on subjects that will shape your relationship with God. Themes like hearing God's voice, dream interpretation, deliverance, and so many other spiritual themes from expert teachers. And I personally get to train you in my Prophetic Monthly Mastermind live group if you join. Plus, when you join, we have an amazing online community with a spiritual growth pastor who will lead you in weekly groups to practice what you're learning. Go to bowlsministries.com or shawnbowles.com and click on mentoring community. See you next time on Exploring the Prophetic.